Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses so together we can advance the kingdom of God. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and check out the online courses and resources at www.theblessedbusiness.com. That's www.theblessedbusiness.com. And if you're looking for ways to increase your income, check out the Income Accelerator course now available at theblessedbusiness.com/income. Now let's dive into today's episode.
Well, it's good to be back with you again this week. Now, last week, we started a discussion, myself and Hunter Haley. I'm Dr. Caleb Adams, and I'm the pastor of Christian Life Church, and Hunter Haley is one of the members of our church, and so he has a podcast called The Blessed Business, and my podcast is The Culture of Life, and we did a collaborative episode, and so we thought we'd get together on a very relevant subject we're both passionate about.
Yes.
And we got the discussion started last week, and it went long.
We got really excited, and we had a lot to say. And it was a very important. We talked about the basically giving the right way. And there's so much to cover in that, we had to break it up into two episodes. So this is part two of that conversation. And so if you haven't already, I would highly recommend on either one of our podcasts, subscribe to both if you haven't already, but go back and listen to part one of this giving the right way conversation, and that'll kind of set everything up for the conversation we're going to have today. But let's go ahead and dive into part two of this conversation.
Let's jump in.
Some people feel like the judgment of God is coming upon their life. The devourer is going to come get them if they've got three pennies short. If you make a good faith effort and you're rounding up more times than not, there's an element where God's grace will cover you. It's the when you God's grace operates for people pointed the right direction.
Yeah.
When you're living your life
like
unto
that.
Christ, God's grace covers. When you're living your life unto the world, God's grace doesn't cover.
That's a great way to say it.
When you're trying to get out of paying tithes all the time, there's probably less grace for that person. When you're trying to go overboard and pay tithes all the time, if you didn't quite measure up, I think there's grace.
Yeah, direction does matter. And while giving is a commandment, it absolutely is, I don't think that God ever intended our giving to be a matter of legalism. We don't believe in legalism.
No.
As Pentecostals, we don't.
It's not biblical.
It's not biblical. It's fact, it's anti-biblical. We give out of a willing and a cheerful heart, mm-hmm. not out of, the scripture said, don't give out of necessity.
Right.
Giving out of necessity is thinking God is demanding this, and so mm-hmm. I've got to do it. I don't really want to, but I've got to do it just because, you know, I don't want to get in trouble with God. Mm-hmm. That's giving out of necessity, and if we're approaching it with that attitude, where something's off, mm-hmm. and we really need to back up and say, okay, I've got to do this in a way that I can do it cheerfully. But to do it cheerfully, we've got to go into it with the right mindset. So that brings us to another principle that I think we need to talk about. And this is one that, you know, sometimes I kick sacred cows on this podcast. And
same here.
Yeah, and so we're going to kick it.
We're the sacred cow kickers.
Yeah, we're going to kick this cow to the Hear It Mooing in Michigan. So giving from abundance versus giving from sacrifice. So all my life, I have heard a lot of talk about the sacrificial offering.
Yes.
And I've heard preachers, and they were well-meaning, I think they definitely meant well, wanted the church to, you know, be blessed.
Give until it hurts.
Yeah, just give until it hurts and give that we need to just give sacrificially all the time. It our giving just needs to be a sacrifice. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't believe that. I do not believe that sacrificial giving is the scriptural motif for giving as a general rule.
Yes.
I do believe in sacrificial giving as the exception.
So to clarify, as the general rule, you give out of your abundance.
Out of your abundance.
So, as God has blessed.
So what that looks like is I'm a blessed person. I've got a good paycheck. And
the bills are paid.
Bills are paid. I got food in the refrigerator.
You're not writing your rent check to the church.
I'm not giving my rent check to the church. I'm not giving the kids' milk money to the church.
That's not wise or practical.
If we're doing that all the time, there's something wrong.
Yes.
There's something bad wrong.
You got bad theology.
Bad theology and bad money management.
Yeah.
So giving needs to be affordable. It needs to be sustainable. It needs to be something where we say, you know, we have an abundance, and out of that abundance that we are we're going to give that way. Mm-hmm. So, but that being said, that needs to be the general principle of giving. But I think we can bear out from the scripture, I think I can also testify from personal experience, that every now and then we are called to go above and beyond and give more than what we think we can afford. Mm-hmm. Think of the scriptural principles. Was it Elijah or Elisha? I get the two mixed up. I've read the Bible for years and I still mix them up all the time. I think it was Elijah went to the widow woman that was in a famine and she was out of money. She was out of food. He walks up. Good she story, scratched yes. around. She said, he said, what are you doing? She said, I'm looking for two sticks so I can build a fire. And I've got a little handful of flour, a little bit of oil. I'm going to mix up a little loaf of bread. She said, with the two sticks and my little fire and my little bit of food, I'm going to bake a cake. My son and I are going to eat it and die.
What a perspective.
What a perspective. But it's obvious this woman's destitute. And this,
a little different take on the Last Supper, right?
And this preacher did the unthinkable. It's something I just cringe every time I read this story. He says, lady, he said, bake that cake for me.
That could come across so many wrong ways.
In my coldest and most callous moment in life, I could not imagine looking at somebody in a dire strait like that as a minister and say, give me your last bite of food. Let me chew on this bread while I watch you guys gasp your last breath. But Elijah did that. Well, we know the story. She did that, and as a result, God blessed what she had left over till she never ran out of food for that entire famine. So the principle is there, when God calls us to do something sacrificial,
When God calls,
that's a different. Not when you just thought you was going to manipulate God.
Yes.
When God says, give a sacrificial offering, it will always, always open a portal into the supernatural. Mm-hmm. When God puts it on your heart to give something sacrificial, get ready, because something is about to shift in your circumstances. Mm. I can feel the Holy Ghost just...
Amen.
Just talking about that.
It works.
It absolutely works. I've seen this work in my own life. You know, we have a regimen of giving, my wife and I do, that we have, over time, God's dealt with us in different ways, how to give regularly, and we just do that as a matter of life. But every now and then, when it's time, there'll be maybe a special need, maybe a missionary, or as we've had times as we've been building these buildings and paying off debt, where God would just prompt one of us to give something that was beyond what was logical, beyond what was obligatory, but it was something above and beyond. And there's been times when God would deal with me to do it, I would gulp just a little bit and think, oh, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
And it's been more than one time, and I'm just being transparent. I've thought to myself,
looking at the ledge and like, that's a long ways
down. It's a long ways to jump. There's been a few times I've thought, oh, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
But what I've learned, and I wish I could tell you I have obeyed God in my giving every time. I'm ashamed to admit there's been a few times I felt God prompt me to give and I didn't do it.
Kind of held back.
I thought it through. I rationalized it. And I thought, you know, I can't. But the times that God has dealt with me to do something sacrificially, it has always, always resulted in unexpected and significant blessings in the months or the year to come. So sacrificial giving is a part of the big picture. It should not be a part of the weekly picture.
It's something I want to key in on. You said, as God prompts you to. And if you've got the gift of giving, you usually start with smaller amounts to get that voice.
Sure.
Like God works with you to develop that relationship where you know the call of God before it's really big amounts, generally. Not always, but like God builds that muscle where you've got that relationship where you've exercised that gift over time to where you know it's God versus you. And so you'll generally know it's prompting. But the thing is, the reason sometimes people get bitter or have a bad experience or get a bad taste in their mouth is they'll give out of sincerity, but it wasn't God calling them to sacrifice.
Right.
They either guilt tripped or out of a sense of wanting to help or like for whatever the circumstances was, it was orchestrated such that they kind of put them that they put that on themselves and God didn't put that on them. And it may, and God generally will still, I believe in general, God blesses people's sincerity, but he, God doesn't bless dumb. You know what I mean?
Right. And he doesn't. And something else God doesn't bless. He doesn't bless dumb, but God also doesn't bless when we're, and most people wouldn't say it this crassly, but sometimes what is, it's when we give to try to manipulate God.
Yes. Or we give expecting God to pick up the tab.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give this, but I'm expecting you to pay my rent next month.
That's right.
Because, I mean, not, people, even if it may not be a quid pro quo, it may not be verbalized, but that's really what's in their heart. If you do a deep search, that's kind of what you're saying. Well, I'm going to be generous here because God's going to make up the difference. And we hear it's just stories and we get inspired and stuff like that. But when you're giving based on principle, because God blesses based on principle, not just sincerity.
That's right.
Sincerity mixed with principle gets blessed. You take one of those elements out, it starts to get shaky. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And so, you know, as we're discussing that, we want to give in the right way. And so obviously, giving in the right way involves the amount that we give, mm-hmm. or the percentage based on where we're at and what God's dealing with us. But the overall flow and the orientation of our heart while we're giving means everything.
Yes.
But I've watched over the years that some people actually gave out of greed.
Yeah, the irony.
The irony of giving out of greed. Yes, because we've preached that when we give, God blesses us. And the Bible says that. That's a scriptural principle. But if I'm giving with the sole motive of I'm trying to manipulate God to give me a bigger paycheck, that's not the right motive.
No.
And I'm not sure it'll work so well if that is your motive. I would have more hope to see God give you financial increase as a result of your giving if you simply give because you love him.
Yes.
And his kingdom. That's the motive that God will bless.
Well, I think that's true. And another key principle here is giving cheerfully. If you can't give cheerfully,
with a smile on your face.
With a smile on your face, sincerely, you really need to do a heart check.
Yeah, you do need to give a heart check. And you got to, you need to feel good about your giving. But let me just say this as a pastor, and you're a member in our church. And,
sure.
And I would say to you from the scripture, that Hunter, when you give your tithes and offerings, you need to do it cheerfully. You need to feel good about it. But I also, as a leader of the congregation, if someone has a lot of input on how the money is spent around the church, I need part of you being able to give cheerfully is on me as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be a good steward of church finances.
Sure.
I have to manage the money and handle the overall financial picture of the church to where you feel like you're giving to something that is well managed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have seen occasions where pastors will just be sloppy and bad money managers.
It's demotivating for the saints.
It's demotivating for the saints. And we don't ever talk about that. It's not politically correct to talk about that, but it just is what it is.
So it's like, give cheerfully as I waste the money.
Yeah. Like,
that doesn't compute very well.
Yeah, it doesn't compute. And over the long term, it doesn't compute.
No, that's good. Now, I wanted to bring out another principle beyond just giving cheerfully, and that is give locally.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because what I've heard, and there are times when I am familiar with scenarios and circumstances, especially if someone is abundantly blessed and things like that, and with the permission of their pastor, they would give to things outside of their church. But as by and far as a, like, almost not an absolute rule, but as a very general case, 99.99% of the time, it's the most wise and prudent thing to do is to give locally through your church, even if you're wanting to give to like missions and stuff outside of your church, doing that through your church or through your local organization, that is generally the best rule because that brings accountability and just a blessing from that.
It does. There's a lot of reasons to that. And once again, this is one of those
topics. You don't send a tithe check to like six different churches around town. That is.
Yeah. And this is one of these topics that we can talk about on this podcast. It would be a little more difficult
sure.
to talk about over the pulpit. But let's talk about a few examples of giving locally. First of all, most of you that buy groceries, you either go to Kroger or Walmart, or at least in the South you do.
Yeah. Or Sam's or Costco.
Sam's or Costco.
Yeah, something okay. like that.
So if you go get your cart full of groceries at Walmart, just try walking out the next time and putting the groceries in your cart without paying, then drive down to Kroger and pay.
Yeah, it doesn't compute.
It doesn't compute, and you're probably going to have a blue light special going on in your...
Especially if you do this on a weekly basis.
If you do it on a weekly basis. So you don't buy you don't go to Walmart for groceries and pay at Kroger.
Yeah, that doesn't
make sense. Need to pay our tithes where we get fed.
Yeah.
Wherever we're getting fed, our local church is where it's at.
Yeah.
And here's what happens as a church grows. And, you know, I remember when our church was small, when we first came to Memphis, we had 33 voting members in our church. Mm-hmm. Right after we became the pastor, 13 of those either died, move off, or just quit coming to church. And so church was very, very small. Mm-hmm. And financially, it was just like we needed a miracle every week just to survive. Well, when the church is small, everybody thinks, yeah, it makes sense that I give my tithes and offerings here at my local church. But now, 20 years later, we've got several hundred people mm-hmm. attending church, and the church is growing, and we've... Financially, we're no longer in survival mode. Mm-hmm. And so some people rationalize that I'm going to a church that is financially strong, so therefore I'll find some struggling ministry somewhere that needs it more. Mm-hmm. But reality is, that's not God's plan. Mm. If God connected you to a local body, you need to be part of what that body's doing.
Yes, and support it.
And I can just tell you as a pastor of a church that is growing, with the growth comes expanded vision. Mm-hmm. Now we're not just trying to tackle $5,000 initiatives, we're looking at $5 million initiatives.
Right.
And so the need isn't just about getting the utility bill paid at church this year, but yes. now it's about...
The vision has grown beyond
it's
that.
It's stepping into where God's calling us to go, and yes. we need every single member to be on board with that.
Now, stepping outside of your local congregation, now there is a biblical precedence for giving beyond just the local needs.
And yes.
there's the story of... I believe it was Paul who took up an offering for the church in Jerusalem, wasn't it?
Yes, and that's a missions offering.
But, but it wasn't, he didn't send a letter to everyone that says, everybody just send whoever you want to in Jerusalem a check. What it did is it flowed through the appropriate channels. He came and collected it, and it was someone who was essentially their bishop, if I could,
sure.
in a sense.
Sure.
And so it flowed through leadership. It wasn't someone taking the initiative to feel like, hey, I feel like the church in Jerusalem could use a little handout, you know, and or a little help, you know, and so I'm going to send them something. Because there was an accountability to giving collective. There's a power to it. But there's also an accountability factor from a saint perspective. I'm not talking from a pastoral perspective, but from a saint perspective, if I'm blessed and I'm a business owner, this is the Blessed Business Podcast, and let's say I've got $1 million I'm going to disperse in giving this year, and I give the bulk of it to my church, but I'm sending out checks to other people and other organizations and stuff like that. And at a certain point, like, you know, again, with the permission of your pastor and stuff like that, setting up foundations, most of us aren't at that level, okay? But so there's always an exception to every rule. But as a general rule, if I was to give, and we've actually had this conversation before, we've given to missions before that wasn't directly supported by our church per se, but I call you and say, hey, look, can we do this through the church?
Sure.
And if you'd have told me no, I would have said, you know what? I felt like this is something I feel like God was kind of wanting me to do, but that's also my checkpoint. If my leadership's not on board with that, or there's not wisdom there, then like I need to be able to put that on pause. And so there's an accountability, because you may know something about that missionary or that project or that other church or that other preacher or that other, you may know behind the scenes stuff that I may find out years later when it all falls apart and then be really mad that I gave so much to something so flawed. And again, it's not most of the time that's not the case, but if I gave it through my leadership, there's a lot more accountability, and not just for me, but also for the people it's going to outside of the church, because they're being held accountable by the pastor as well to be steward responsible. But it's not my job to hold that missionary accountable, because does that make sense?
It does make sense. And overall, giving is going to be more productive, and it's going to be better used when it's routed, in this case, to mission fields through the local church,
yes.
Designated programs. And our church, the way the money would flow in most cases for missions is people give to the missions tab in our church, and then that in turn is submitted to the organization that we're a part of and to designated missionaries. Mm-hmm. And so we can keep a very clear paper trail, mm-hmm. and a number of the missionaries that receive funds are reporting back on the funds that they received and what they did with it, so that there's a high level of accountability.
But as a saint, I don't have insight to that. And two, it's stepping out of order, being a successful business owner or blessed financially with an inheritance or whatever. Me giving that check does not supersede the spiritual authority chain.
Sure.
And so, but I could inadvertently put myself in a position where I'm either A, calling someone to accountability because they used the $100,000 I sent them, or $5,000 or whatever it was. But again, when I give through my local leadership, I relinquish the responsibility right there. It's submitted. It's accountability for me, and it's accountability for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And the times that run into people that just simply, they say, oh, I want to give, but I don't want to do it through my local church.
Yeah, I've never understood
that. The question I have is why?
Yeah.
What's the motive there? There's, it just never seems to feel like that mm-hmm. statement comes from a good place.
If you can't trust your pastor with your finances, why are you trusting him with your soul?
I agree.
And if you can't trust him with your finances, it probably is. I mean, and there are sincere, good, well-meaning preachers and pastors that just need more financial help. But there's ways that they can be brought into accountability. It's not your job to do that. But if that's really a struggle for you, and like you can't trust them to get the money to where it needs to go, that raises all kinds of other red flags. You need to be
fine. Yeah, there's definitely some issues.
So if that's your excuse, but you're trusting them with your soul, it kind of invalidates your excuse.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So anyway, it's just as a general rule, flow your money that you give should flow through your local pastor or with your pastor's permission, and ideally through the local church specifically. And then lastly, another principle I thought would be good to kind of end on is setting giving goals. You know, I've done this for years in different ways. And it's interesting, especially going back to the giving by percentage perspective. If I say God, and I feel like God's given us the gift of giving. I mean, it's abundant in our abundantly ever in our life that God has blessed us to be a blessing. And part of that, though, is I set giving goals. And so one of the goals I set was I want to go from being previously my goal was to be a six-figure earner. I want to make six figures a year. But I've shifted to where now my goal is to be a six-figure giver.
Mm.
And so, but for that goal to be possible, that means I've, like you said earlier, I love what you said about to have the gift of giving, you have to have the gift of getting. And so by putting that on percentage, the goals I set basically are showing God that I'm serious, but I'm putting it on paper. I want to give 10,000 to my local church this year, or 100,000, or 100 million, whatever the number is. I mean, you have to be practical based on where you're at. But by setting certain giving goals, and then attaching percentages to your from your income that you give to those, then you're basically giving God the opportunity to say, God, I can't do this in and of myself. The only way I'm able to give is if you bless me with more. Now, I'm going to go put seed in the ground. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do these things. But ultimately, it comes from you. But if you have giving goals, you're submitted to your leadership, you're giving the right ways, and you're giving based on percentage, by adding the goals, it's putting almost like a commitment on paper,
yeah,
of what you want God to do, and you're tracking it. And it's just, it's hard, but I'll give an example. There was a time we were taking up a sacrificial offering, one of those very, very few times. And a preacher came through and he was preaching faith and we were grabbing hold of it. And he said, somebody in this congregation, you're making $5,000 a month, but you're going to give $5,000.
I remember that.
It was a God moment. And I looked at my wife and we had just set our budget. Like if we could just make $5,000 every month, if we could set our budget that, like that'd pay all the bills. So we didn't have $5,000. So we didn't just take our rent money that month and just put it in. Like we didn't take all of our bill money for that month and write the check.
Sure.
But I set that as a goal. I caught that out of the atmosphere, if you will, grabbed a hold of it by faith. And I said, what we're going to do is we're going to go home and we're going to write a check. We're not able to deposit it into the church, you know, giving account yet, but we're not going to put a date or a signature on it, but we're going to put $5,000 on paper in a check. And we put it in a drawer we had at home. And we prayed over it. And we said, God, this is one of our giving goals is we want to be able to give this check. Now, at the time, we were struggling to make $5,000 a month. And so we were like, it may be years. And so it's not going to be in today's offering. But at some point, we're grabbing a hold of the faith saying that it will be possible. But we literally put it on paper. That was a giving goal. Pastor, it was within just 2 or 3 months.
Wow.
Out of the blue, several circumstances came together, and we were able to give that, and it wasn't even a sacrifice. It was out of the abundance that God brought. But because we were giving on percentage, submitted to our leadership, giving the right way, and we had set that goal and basically put a challenge on paper saying, God, if you bless us, we'll do it. We've got it on paper. We've put ink to paper already. Not this hypothetical, if you bless me, I'll give. But we've got proven track record, we've got a system in place, we've got accountability, and we've got goals, and we've got it on paper. Yeah. God blesses that.
God blesses that, and that's giving from a posture of faith. That's cheerful giving.
Yes.
Demonstrated.
It's practical, it's wise, but it incorporates all of those things. It doesn't take faith and use that as a license to do something impractical, but at the same time, it doesn't use the impractical as an excuse to not grab a hold of faith. And launch into something big that God's trying to do.
Yeah. And you know, that's so good. And as we're wrapping up this episode, I'm thinking about the gift of giving. And this is something I've pondered over the years, and I don't have the answer to it. I'd just like to get your thoughts on it. God gives other spiritual gifts like prophecy and discernment of spirits and the gift of faith and healing to different people. And we know that not everybody gets the same gift. Mm-hmm. But I wonder, is the gift of giving something we should actively pray for and seek for? If I'm not sure I've got that gift, or if maybe I just think I flat out don't have it.
Well, I mean, the Bible tells us to pursue and seek earnestly spiritual gifts.
Yeah, it does say that.
And so, and in my own life, I can say that that has been a pursuit. There has been an intentionality. It wasn't something I just woke up one day and it's like, oh, wow, we're here. And then all the pieces came together. But I think it happens as part of a process. And, I remember early on in our life, it started with financial discipline and stewardship. That was principle number one, is we took a Dave Ramsey class and we're like, we got to get our life together. We paid off our debt. We lived on a budget. And by paying attention to that, it put us in a better position as a steward to say, okay, we're paying tithes and offering, and we were able to set a significantly higher percentage than what was even probably reasonably practical at the time, but we felt that there was something that we felt this yearning to do more, but we didn't know what. We didn't know what that looked like. But the actions we took was we knew we could improve our stewardship. We knew we could give based on percentage, and we knew we could set giving goals. And as we did that, we saw God just open up thing after thing. Another quick story is there was a time when we were in the process of adopting our son. And this is one of those rare situations where God moved on us with a very unique circumstance to give, and it was rewarded. So a missionary came through that were raising funds for a school overseas to help children and things like that. And we were in the process of raising funds for our adoption, or saving money for our adoption. And they projected it was going to cost like $50,000 for this adoption. And some people listening, maybe thinking through that, but like the financial aspect has been like a big hurdle, right?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It is. And to be honest with you, we had saved up $10,000 that we could put towards that $50,000 projected expense. It wasn't anyone close. But when this particular mission situation came up, we prayed and we felt in a just, me and my wife both felt that we should give that $10,000 we had saved. Now, did that make practical sense? No. Was that sacrificial? I would say so. Because we were, now, in a sense, it was a sacrificial because it was putting other dreams on hold. But it, again, it wasn't sacrificial in the sense that it was money out of our abundance we had set aside. So it was still with practical wisdom, but it was setting other dreams aside to be able to do that. Once we did that, within just a fairly short order, we ended up unexpectedly, we got over $20,000 in grants, tax-free,
wow,
that were applied to on our account.
Well, look at God go.
And we were blessed financially in our business to come up with the rest of the money so that by the time we got our match and did all the things that we need to do to put the process in place, everything fell into place where it never missed a beat and it was fully paid for and taken care of.
That's incredible. That's motivating.
Well, but what I will say is that wasn't the first time we gave like that. It started with that $5,000 check. It started before that with we're going to give 10%. And some weeks that looked like an extra $5 consistently over a 52-week period, right?
Yeah.
And so when it to giving the right way, you don't start out with those big, amazing things generally, as a general rule. It starts with a practiced discipline of doing what the principles, the perfect will of God is the present duty at hand. Stewardship, giving on percentage, being submitted, like doing all the things we talked about, learning how to give the right way. If you can start that, then I think like what you were talking about, pursuing the gift of giving, if that's in your heart and you're putting all the pieces in place, I think that you can pray for it, but God can give it to anybody. Because that's something that facilitating the kingdom, the work of the kingdom is something anybody can do. Now, it's going to look different for everybody. For me, it's owning a business and having a substantial income and things like that. And before we had all this and we had a good consistent income, we had some just off the wall, what we called once in a lifetime opportunities. Where it's like, well, this will never happen again. Well, this will never happen. But those kept happening because we were connecting it to giving.
Yes.
And so you don't have to be a successful business owner. You don't have to make a huge paycheck to be able to be a participant in this. I've known of people that have gotten settlements and insurance things and random opportunities and inheritance, unexpected blessings, but it usually comes to people that have put the principles in place that have been pursuing the gift of giving and then let God figure out where it's going to come from.
Yes, that's so good. That's so inspiring. It's been beautiful to watch how God has blessed you in Brooklyn and your lives have been so enriched just by the grace and the favor of God. It's a wonderful thing. But what inspires me when I see how God blesses you is to know that God doesn't respect persons, but
nope,
he respects principles.
Yes.
And yes, these are principles that we're talking about that you guys have lived by, and I'm going to try to live by them because I want it too. And I think we could all have it. There's enough to go around.
Absolutely. Well, this has been such a good conversation. Thank you so much for this collaborative time together. And if you haven't already, check out Dr. Caleb Adams' podcast, The Culture of Life, or the Blessed Business podcast, which is the one that I have the privilege
of. Yeah, it's so much fun. We ought to do this again next week.
We should do it. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in next time, and God bless.
This concludes today's episode, and we trust you were able to walk away with something of value from the content that you heard. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Be sure to share this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, after all. And check out the resources available on our website at theblessedbusiness.com. We have a lot of goodies out there for you, like the Income Accelerator course that teaches you the 5 keys to unlocking your earning potential, or the Launch course, which is a step-by-step guide to help you launch your own business. Thank you for your time and attention today, and until next time, be blessed.